Harper Audio presents Red and Me by Bill Russell with Alan Steinberg. Read by Peter J. Fernandez. Prologue read by Bill Russell. Copyright 2009 by Bill Russell. Production copyright 2009 by HarperCollins Publishers.
Red Auerbach and I were friends our whole adult lives, almost 50 years. But we never talked about it. That was part of why the friendship worked. He always knew he was one of the few people I cared a great deal about. And I always knew that I was one of the few people that he cared a great deal about. It didn't have to be said. When I joined the Boston Celtics in 1956, I didn't know much about Red Auerbach as a coach, and I didn't care about him. Since my relationship with my previous coaches in college and on the U.S. Olympic team were unfriendly, I just expected another adversarial relationship with a coach, and I was completely comfortable with that. But when I arrived in Boston after the Olympics, Red was secure within himself, and I was secure within myself. So he didn't have to prove to me he was a great coach, and I didn't have to prove that I was a great player. Although we came from different tribes as men, we recognized early that as professionals, we had a common agenda: to win basketball games. As our basketball relationship played out, we also realized that, philosophically, we shared the same perspectives on life. Our core philosophies of how to be men, how to be professionals, and how to be friends were in tune. So we never had to talk about who we were or how to conduct ourselves. We just lived it. Over the next 13 years, basketball set the stage for our relationship to evolve from caution to admiration to trust and respect, to a friendship that lasted a lifetime. After I retired in 1969, Red and I didn't see each other very often. But even though I lived in Seattle and he lived in Washington, D.C., we each remained a strong presence in the other's life. A few times a year, we'd end up in Boston at the same time. If the Celtics were home, we'd go to see a game together at the Fleet Center. The rest of the time, we kept our relationship current by phone. In 2005, when Red's health deteriorated, I phoned regularly to let him know I was thinking about him. He was getting lots of calls. I also knew that when people aren't doing well, they spend a lot of time and energy telling their friends not to worry. I didn't want to drain Red's energy for my benefit, so I kept the conversation short. All I cared about was that this was my friend, and all he cared about was he was hearing from his friend. I remember our last conversation, weeks before he died, as vividly as our championships together half a century ago. He answered the phone with his famous cranky growl. "What? Red? Who is this? Still cranky. This is William F. Russell. Hey, Russ, how you doing?" "I'm all right. The question is, how are you doing?" "Well, you know, it's day to day. Doesn't get any better. But don't worry about it. I'm okay." He didn't want anyone to feel sorry for him, ever. His attitude in life was still exactly like mine. "I can take care of myself, and I don't need anybody's pity. Is there anything I can do to help?" "Nah, if I need anything from you, I'll call you." "All right, see you later." That was it, short and to the point. Like almost all our conversations. Of course, I didn't know it would be our final one. But, though a lot was left unsaid, I have no regrets. We understood each other completely. That was the foundation of our friendship. It's the foundation of all lasting friendships. Years ago, I came up with a saying that expresses it precisely. I don't know whether I heard it somewhere or made it up, but it became part of who I am. It's far more important to understand than to be understood.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?